morning is the presence of an almighty God. I'm so thankful to be able to take, it's an honor to be able to feel the presence of the Lord in my life. I'm so thankful. You can go ahead and be seated for it. I want to just get right into our message this morning. And this is kind of an overflow from Easter. I did not get to preach an Easter message. I spoke a little bit on our Friday night good service, our communion service, if those of you that were here. I spoke a little bit, and then we had our Easter drama last Sunday morning. And because we have a lot of people that are not here on Sunday morning, we have a number of services that take place all over the city on Sundays. And a lot of people, they're not here on Sunday morning, but they're here on Sunday. They attend their afternoon service, and then they're here on the evening service. So a lot of people missed the drama last week, so we had been asked to do that again. So I want you to come tonight. If you've seen it once, how many times have you seen The Wizard of Oz or It's a Wonderful Life or any of those, okay? Just because you see it once doesn't mean that, you know, I don't have to be there tonight. I've probably watched Princess Bride 50 times with my daughter. I will be here tonight to watch the drama and to participate in prayer at the end of it, because I believe that God is going to move. I know God is going to move. And as we enter into a new quarter, we had January, February, March is behind us. We're into April now. And last quarter, our focus, we had our focus on purification. Talked about purification of the body, purification of the soul, another word that we like to use, I like to use personally instead of purification, is just good old-fashioned repentance. It's something that people don't like to use now. Repentance is not a buzzword around in the Christianity, the Christian circles and such, but we focused on repentance, turning away from our old habits. And we are entering into a new dimension with Jesus Christ. And this month, we're going to build on this. Originally, I was going to start a series on seeking after the power of God. Now, I understand, and I spoke a few, probably a month ago now it has been, about some of the problems. We're not just looking to seek after God's power just so we can say we have God's power. There are some things that I have a great deal of reverence for. God's power, God's authority is one of those. And I believe that in order for us to go where God is wanting us to go, that we are going to have more of His power. Does not mean that we leave repentance behind. It does not mean that we leave righteousness out of the picture. Power is something that we need in these last days, I believe, in order to take and carry the church onto the finish line that God has called us to do. I mean, I am excited about experiencing more of the glory and the power of God. And theme this year is expect, and these are all the various things that we're looking to expect. If you're here this morning and you're sick in body and you need the power of the Holy Ghost, you need the power of healing, that power is here. I am in total 100% agreement with God that God will do whatever you need Him to do if you are willing to turn and give your will over to Him. I've talked over the last few weeks with a number of individuals, and they say, how come God isn't doing things in my life? My first question was, are you giving your life over to God? Are you giving your will to Him? This is not in my notes this morning, but this is a kind of a wrap-up. Are you willing your life to Him? And I want to give all of my life over to Jesus Christ. I've made a mess of what was of my life before. How many of you have came out of, you just made a mess of things? And maybe here this morning, your life is a mess. Listen, you can come in here a mess, and you don't have to leave the same way that you came in. So this second quarter, originally I was thinking, you know, we have repentance, purification, And then, you know, we need to have the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost working in our lives on a daily basis. And we worked on cleaning the inside out so we can be effective on the outside. And as we begin to think about the second quarter, I'm going to change the order. I talked with all of the ministers on Wednesday night. I'm going to change the order of our focus. And let me explain to you why. Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. Now, we celebrated Easter last week, and Pentecost is 50 days from Easter. He ascended 40 days after Easter morning. So I'm looking at this, and power is important, but there's a time of preparation that must happen. And I believe that when Jesus was with his disciples for those 40 days, he was preparing them for the power that was to come. He had spent 3.5 years with his disciples, and in that 3.5 years, they experienced some of the power. They experienced some of that. He sent them out, the 70. He sent out 70 of them disciples, and they were able to cast out devils. They were amazed. They said, even the demons are subject to our authority. But you see, they didn't have the maturity that went along with the power and the authority. Now here we are, year or so later, Jesus Christ has been crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's with his disciples. And in those 40 days, I believe he was pouring out into them. And in those 40 days, they grew tremendously in God. They matured. They understood their mission. They understood what was going to be happening to them. It was down to kind of crunch time. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go into the next 40 days, the next 50 days actually, and we're going to take and we're going to spend some time in preparation in our own hearts and in our own lives. And I'm calling, we had a fast at the beginning of the year in January. We had beginning of January, but a few weeks into January, we had a 21-day fast. And I really feel that we need to take, we're going to start April 11th, and we're going to go through April 20th. It will be 10 days. We're going to have a 10-day fast, very similar to what we had done the first fast of this year. We fasted the first of this year, as I said, for purity, for repentance. We're going to fast for preparation. And in order to prepare, we have to understand we're building upon this. This is a building block. This is a process that God is taking us through. We can't forget repentance. That's our building. That's our foundation, repentance. We don't get anywhere in God. We don't get any power, any authority without having repentance. We have to continually remember that. So we're going into a time of preparation, to where I believe that God is wanting to prepare us for the power, for Pentecost. So the next 40 days, we're going to prepare for that power. We're going to start off April 11th through the 20th with a 10-day fast, and we'll be focusing more of that in our messages to come. I usually take the first three services of the year. That either it'd be a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday, or it may start off with a Wednesday night, Sunday a.m. and p.m. And I usually take those three services together, combine them into one series, if you haven't caught on to this yet, into one series. And that is a series for that month or maybe for that quarter. And so we're gonna move into that within another week. We'll get through our Easter season here. But just to give you a heads up as far as where we're going for this year, our first quarter was purity. Our second quarter will be preparation. Our third quarter will be on power. And our fourth quarter focus will be on people. And that's where we're going this year, in God. We have to have purity. We have to have preparation time. We will receive the power and the authority and the Holy Ghost. Not that we don't have it now. I believe that we're getting a sprinkling of what God wants to give to us and what God wants to do through us. So I believe that Jesus Christ, that God is going to do some tremendous things in you and in me this year. And I'm excited. So that's kind of to give you a little bit of a recap over the last few weeks. Propels us into the end of the year as far as where we're going. But now we have this morning. We have our message this morning, and I'd like to kind of a humorous title. If I could title this message, "You're Not Fully Clean Until You're Zest Fully Clean." I remember back, and I think it was 1976 when I went to my brother John and I, he's here this morning, we went to Texas for the summer, and we spent the summer down there with our grandma and grandpa Grant and our grandma and grandpa Smith, and we had a great time. That Dad put us on an airplane at Chicago O'Hare at about 11 o'clock at night, and we flew to Dallas, Texas, and my grandma and grandpa Grant picked us up there, and we were down there for 3 long months. It was a great time. I'm sure my mom and dad enjoyed having a summer without John and Roy in the house, just Steve. But we had a great time. But I remember while we were down there, we spent time equally among both of our grandparents. And my grandparents understand, my grandma and grandpa Grant, we call them Papa and Nanny. They were in the church. We went to every service. We went to every special service. We went to every rally. We went to every camp meeting. And they drug us all over the place going to church. They were very avid churchgoers. Now, my grandma and Grandpa Smith, they didn't go to church. And my grandparents, they had a TV in their house. And at the time, you know, I mean, even now, we didn't have TVs, we won't get into the whole issue of television and all of the bad stuff on TV. But we would go to Grandma and Grandpa Smith's house because we liked to go there because they had a television. We could watch TV, and we never had a TV at home, so we were like addicted to this thing. And I remember going in there, even in the daytime hours. It was hot in East Texas. I mean, it gets so hot in the summer. And we'd go outside from time to time, but we would come in, and my grandma would be sitting in front of the TV all afternoon. And she's watching General Hospital. And then General Hospital would come, and it would be over. And then she would watch Days of Our Lives. And we would sit there, and I didn't know what a soap opera was. I thought it was stupid, but it was TV, and it was something to watch. And it wasn't years later till remember that? As the world turns, so do the days of our life. How many of you, we got a few honest folks in here. I didn't know that they called them soap operas. My grandma called them washing her soaps, and I didn't know that the reason they called them soap operas is because they were sponsored by soap companies. We had Ivory. I saw a lot of commercials about Ivory liquid and Ivory soap and Tide. You know, they had the big boxes of Tide, and they always had the football players that came in, and it looked like they had painted grass stains. I've never played out in the grass, and my grass stains never looked like their grass stains. So I always a little skeptical on the Tide commercials, grass stains, but they would put that football jersey in the Tide, and they'd put it in the washing machine, and you could wash it in cold water, ladies. You didn't have to use your hot water, and you'd pull that out, and it was just so clean. So clean. I don't know what detergent my mom used. Maybe it was just the low-budget Tide, but my white T-shirts never got that clean. Then you had Mr. Clean. How many of you remember Mr. Clean? He's the dude that kind of bald-headed, had a little earring, a little gold earring, you know, and had a little sparkly shine. And Pine Sol. Pine Sol was my favorite because it smelled like pine trees. And we had some skunks under our porch and in our house and under our house a few years back now. And we had to Pine Sol our house. And Pine Sol works great, but you got to dilute it. If you just put it on straight, you got a mess in your hands, okay? So pine salt, and then the super soaps, borax. Just the sound of that, borax. It just sounds like dirt doesn't stand a chance. And then came Amway. How many of you remember Amway? They didn't advertise on TV. That was like you signed up and you went to a seminar and you spent 4 hours of your time while some guy drew circles on a chalkboard so you could buy their soap. So they had Amway and then Melaleuca. Melaleuca and all the citrus soaps and all of that stuff come out, you know. I mean, these are like natural miracle soaps and cleansers. And then bursting into the infomercial scene was OxyClean. How many of you remember the bearded guy with OxyClean? It didn't matter. You could take your clothes, soak them in transmission fluid, and put them in. And while they spun them around, you could watch them become miraculously pure and clean and pull it out. OxyClean. That deep down cleansing. And we know that these are just commercials. And these products don't really work as well as they claim that they work. But that deep down cleansing and then zest. I just love that. You're not fully clean until you're zest fully clean. You're not fully clean until you're Jesus Christ fully clean. You're not fully clean until you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ fully clean. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that life is in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth of it shall be cut off. When we look at blood, we don't look at blood as a cleanser. We don't look at blood as something that cleans us, something that purifies us. But blood, your blood, my blood, it sustains our very lives. The blood that is flowing through your veins right now as you sit here, it is bringing life to every place. It goes within your body. Without blood, there is no life. It's also very intriguing to me how the blood works, that it brings life into your system. The oxygen that you breathe in your lungs, it enriches the blood and it takes that blood and it puts it into every little cell in your body. But as those cells die and as the food that you ate yesterday is being absorbed into your body and it gives off toxins and gases and all of this kind of stuff, the blood, as it deposits the oxygen, it picks up all of those impurities. Isn't it amazing how we just evolved this way? It's amazing how God created us to take that blood, and that blood brings life, but it takes away whatever the crud, whatever the dirt, whatever the junk is that is killing your body, and it takes that and removes it out of your body. It's filtered through your liver and it's washed on out through your kidneys and all. It just amazes to me how that it works. So when we look at the blood, our blood purifies our body. It's like the soap that's within our system. It removes all the unwanted impurities that are within us. We read how that the blood, Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him. That is meaning the saints, you and I, they overcame him by the blood, by the cleansing power. You're not, as zest has no hold on Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't OxyClean sin out of your life. You've got to have the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame sin. They overcame the enemy. They overcame sickness. And by the word of their testimony. This verse is so powerful because it means that you and I here today, as we sit here, no matter what the enemy may throw at us, no matter what he may put in our place, no matter what problem, no matter what situation that may be facing us, that we can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. It gives us weapons that we can use in our lives, and it's a weapon that will never, ever lose its effectiveness. It's a weapon that will never lose its power. You don't have to worry about what setting your washing machine is on. You don't have to worry if it's cold water. You don't have to worry if it's warm water, because the blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful purification agent anywhere known to man. When we look at the blood of Jesus Christ, it makes the devil squirm in his seat. It makes demons flee. It speaks volumes. It heals every healing. It heals every infirmity. When we look at the blood of Jesus Christ, we read the blood, it speaks volumes. It tells us that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And through his death and through his burial and through his resurrection, he defeated the devil. He defeated him on Calvary's cross. And the blood that was shed is an everlasting covenant. We are redeemed by that blood. You are redeemed by that blood. And I am redeemed by that blood. We have been redeemed out of the power of darkness. And Satan no longer has any power, control, or authority over us. Do you know that when the blood of Jesus is mentioned, the very demons and devils in hell, they tremble. And every time the blood is mentioned, heaven remembers the day that Jesus Christ shed his blood. Hell remembers the day as that blood spilled into the earth, and the purification, the power of that blood. And the day that Jesus came, he bore our sins and he bore all of our sicknesses. He tasted our death and took our curse, and he was buried into the earth. And when Jesus went in to the heart of the earth, in those 3 days, he rose up again victorious. And when he rose victorious, he had the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And when Satan hears you say, by the blood of Jesus Christ, his memory goes back to that day, because that was the day that he was ultimately defeated by Jesus Christ. He remembers when Jesus took away his crown of authority, took it off of his head. He remembered when Jesus took away the keys to death and to hell. And he remembered when Jesus Christ stood and says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We as believers, we need to rise up in his blood. We need to use his blood. I know this may sound morbid to you this morning, but there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. When we remembered back when we had our Good Friday service, we read the story in Matthew 26. Chapter 26, verses 27 and 28, and we don't have to put these up there, but you've got them up there. I'm going to paraphrase. And Jesus gathered his disciples together for a last supper. And as these men gathered around him, he holds up a cup and begins to explain that his blood is a new covenant. And that his blood is sufficient. And where the blood of goats and bulls for 4,000 years did not meet the requirement for fulfilling the law, but his blood now meets that requirement. And that is what he was talking about, was that the law, the old way of doing things, had been done away with. And he says, I, my blood, this is a new covenant. This is a new day. This is a new era. Matthew 5:17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He said, I have come to fulfill the law of the prophets. And he, in one selfless, loving act,
would do what no other sacrifice had been able to do. And he would begin a new covenant. A new covenant would begin with the God of creation. In this blood covenant, anyone who would trust in the power and believe in the power of his blood and would allow the power of his blood to be placed over the sins in their lives, they would be able to receive not only redemption and atonement, but healing and protection and deliverance and strength and transformation in his life. There is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb of God, power to take away the sins of the world. His blood has power to redeem. Galatians 3:13 said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When you look at the law, you look at the Old Testament, the law, it was hard. It was almost a curse upon mankind. No one could be pure enough or good enough or holy enough to obey the entire law, and the law held men in bondage, and it showed every imperfection in humanity. But the blood of Jesus Christ, it freed us from the curse of sin and the curse of death. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, the law had no completion, but today a lamb, tomorrow a dove, next week a goat, the following week perhaps a bull. It never stopped consistently trying to cover the sins of a sinful nation, and the priest had to enter into the holiest of holies once a year, every year, to sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel. 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain. And he cried out, it is finished. It is finished. And the veil in the temple, the veil that separated man from God, the old system of the law, that dove, that goat, that bullock, when Jesus Christ, what he was saying was, I am that perfect lamb. I am that perfect sacrifice. And Revelation chapter 13 verse 8 tells us, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When that veil was torn from top to bottom, when Jesus Christ said, it is finished, how little did we understand what that actually meant. He wasn't just saying, my life has come to a completion and I'm going to die, so it is finished. What he was saying was, there was a system. There was a system. It was somewhat archaic, but it was a system nevertheless. And that system is done away with. We no longer have to sacrifice a bull, a dove, or a sheep. He says, it is finished. I have become that perfect sacrifice. I have become the ultimate sacrifice. And the veil was torn from the top to the bottom so that now mankind, you and I, we have full access to the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. You see, we are no longer separated from the presence of God by his blood. Hebrews 10:16-19 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. It is power to transform, it is power to save the life of an individual. It is in the blood of Jesus that when it is applied to our lives, it makes the chiefest, it makes the vilest, it makes the worst of sinners transformed in an instant. It cleanses faster than Oxidol. It cleanses more thoroughly than Borax. It is the ultimate of all cleansers. It transforms. It doesn't just take an old, dirty piece of laundry and make it clean. It transforms that laundry and makes it new. It takes a dirty, corrupt life, a vile life, full of sin, and it makes it absolutely brand spanking new. That is the power of the cleansing power of the blood. How much more shall Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It not just cleans you up on the outside, it cleans you up on the inside. It cleans you up on the inside, Brother Leonardson. It takes all of that crud. It takes all of that junk. It takes all of that bitterness. It takes all of that envy. It takes all of that strife. It takes all of those addictions. It takes the alcohol. It takes the pornography. It takes the smoking. It takes the drugs. And it cleanses us from the inside. It makes us as if we were brand spanking new. We're not fully clean until we're Jesus Christ washed in the blood of the Lamb, fully clean. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. There is no soul that is so gone that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ cannot transform his sinful nature and instill in him a desire for the holiness of God. The old prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Life is in the blood. And the blood has power to give us a new life. A new life. As I said, our blood is the source of our life, and without it flowing through our veins, we will cease to live as a physical body. We cannot survive without the blood, but without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives, we're eternally bound by the sin in this world. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, Satan cometh not, but to steal. The only thing he comes, I talked with a brother this past week, the only thing that Jesus, that Satan does in our lives is he tears stuff up. He tears stuff up. And Jesus Christ comes along behind and he fixes stuff. I'm reminded of a story I heard years ago as a missionary. In Africa, one of the jungles, villages heavy in witchcraft, the missionary had gone into a witch doctor's home, and that witch doctor began to tell him of the power and authority. And as he stood there, the witch doctor took his finger and he pointed at a calendar and he said, you see that calendar? And as he ran his finger down across that calendar, the calendar tore. And the missionary rose up, and something rose up in him and says, that's the problem with the God that you serve. He's always tearing stuff up. The God I serve, he puts things back together. And he said, I put my hand on that calendar, and as I ran my finger down that calendar, he said, I figure if Satan can show off his power, my God can show off his power. Listen, the enemy is going to do nothing but to try to destroy and wreak havoc in your life. But the power, a thief cometh, not to steal, but to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that you might have life. I come that you might have life. I come that you might have life. But not just have it, but have it more. Abundantly. His blood, it has a power to heal and protect. Whenever a virus attacks our physical body and begins to make us sick, our blood begins to fight that off with the blood cells. When the enemy of your soul rises up against you, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ covers us like a shield so that the enemy that would destroy our soul can be repealed, or he can be repelled. There's wonder-working power in the blood. When your body suffers an injury, a cut, and the blood, it does wonderful things. Bishop Putnam spoke a tremendous message a few weeks back on that, and I strongly suggest that you look at, read it, or go online and listen to that. But when our bodies are cut, the blood rushes to that wound. It flushes out the impurities. It pushes them out, and it forms a scab over that. An attack from Satan. When the enemy attacks you, the blood rushes to the defense. It has a power to heal and protect. And when the blood of Jesus wraps around our spirit and our soul to protect it, protects us from the scars, emotional scars. It protects us from physical pain. Protects us with healing. And his blood has the power to deliver. Has a power to deliver. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that breaks the yoke of bondage of sin in our lives. And if our musicians can come at this time. You see, it does not just forgive us of our sins and leave us in the grips of Satan, but by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can experience freedom from that sin. We can experience total freedom from the sin. We don't have to be bound by those addictions, because the blood of Jesus Christ frees us from those addictions. I don't know this morning what you're struggling with. I want to end this right now. I just feel, let's stand. You see, I said this over the last weekend, you know, Jesus Christ didn't come to earth just so we could have Christmas and Easter bunnies. He came for one purpose, and that was to redeem mankind. Whether you like it or not, whether you admit it or not, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to purify our lives of that sin. But not only does it purify from sin, it brings deliverance, it brings protection, it brings healing by his stripes. We are healed. And I believe that today. This is not just something we just get up here and say because it just sounds good. I believe this. And I've been expecting. Some of us still need to overcome some things in our life. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us power to overcome. So what I want to do this morning, is I want our altar team to come. I want them to just stand up here, and I want them to face the audience this morning. I'm not saying this to embarrass anyone. I know good and well that if you knew as a fact that all you had to do is come up here and you could receive whatever you needed, if these were all doctors up here specializing in whatever illness you had, and they had a new cure for that illness, you would be right up here. You put your faith in this doctor. We go all over the place seeking help in our physical. We go to doctor after doctor, specialist after specialist. I'm just here to tell you this morning that you don't have to look anymore. You don't have to go anywhere else.
Give me strength.
Because I believe that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is in this place. And if you need deliverance this morning, no matter what it is, I want you to come up here, and I just want you to stand in front of one of these individuals. You may say, well, I'm kind of uncomfortable with that. Listen, we'll go into a doctor's office and get naked in front of a guy we've never met before.
To the highest.
We will!
Mountain. And it flows.
I got to just say that. I just went in for a physical.
To the Lord.
I've had my doctor for 15 years. And I go in there. And they say, strip down naked. And an intern walks in. They can't be more than 25 years old. And it's a girl. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, oh my Lord, what am I doing here? But I went through it. I got through it. Oh my word. What did I just do? His blood will cleanse you. Come down in the front.
Yes, Jesus.
Exercise a little faith. If you need the Holy Ghost this morning, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, and you need the Holy Ghost, come on down. You need a healing. Come on down. You need deliverance from whatever it may be. Maybe it's just fear. Maybe you just have, you struggle with fear. Maybe you, whatever. His blood is here. His power is here. There's deliverance here. So as our praise team sings, won't you come down this morning?